We're rolling.
Oh yeah, we're ready to go. Keeping up with the Kardashians.
I really should not have control over the computer because I just hit record.
I think you should just recording all the time and then really F with us.
Yeah, exactly.
And just post it. Look what Rob said. Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still coming. We're still in a place of healing here over our last episode that we recorded, which was Best Pizza Places, which Joe stated unequivocally was Buddy's Pizzeria.
Yeah. Yeah.
In,
as Detroit style pizza.
As Detroit style pizza. Anyways, I'm Nick and
I'm Rob.
Yeah.
I'm Joe.
Yeah. So
Buddy's
today,
lover.
Today we're giving you another very special episode. I want us to call them very special episodes, like back in the day in the 90s, you know, they'd have the
on a very special episode of Full House.
Or a very special episode of Saved by the Bell. Jesse gets addicted to caffeine pills. I'm so excited. You know, and they did that on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's as well. He got addicted to, Carlton got addicted to some pills.
Dancing.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, yeah, he was just dancing at the, like, people were blown away by him. Anyways, if you haven't figured out, we're talking about TV shows today. Our favorite TV shows.
And this is on a whim, too. I don't have anything written down.
This is on a whim. We're just winging this one.
I know one.
I was writing them down during the first episode we recorded just to kind of go through them.
If Desperate Housewives isn't mentioned, then this show is a joke.
You just mentioned it, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good, because I'm not mentioning it otherwise. So we're going to talk about some favorite TV shows. Do we even want to do four? Do we want to keep it a Mount Rushmore, or do we want to just focus on our favorite TV shows and spend some time talking about why they're our favorite
TV
shows?
Well, you want to stick to 40 minutes, so I don't know if that's a good idea.
We could list our four and each talk about one.
One? Okay, let's do it.
Interesting.
I like that strategy. I like that. You know what we could do is list the four. We pick the one we want to talk about, and then we can be like, I want to hear more about why this one's your favorite too, if we have time.
Yeah, spin it so I don't get to choose.
Oh.
Yeah, so whatever four Joe list, we choose which one he talks about.
Yes. I like it. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
We're going to do three truths and a lie.
Three truths and a lie.
You guys are going to pick the one I just made up.
We could do that future too instead of a Mount Rushmore. Three truths and a lie.
Show meeting.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Show meeting.
Yeah. I'll go first.
I just like announcing that when we decide something.
Here's four TV shows that I'm going to say are my favorite. I don't know if they actually are, but these are the four I came up with right now.
Okay.
Scrubs, Chuck, Boomtown, and Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh my gosh, I knew you were going to name all four of those.
Tell me more about Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Well, see our catalog.
All right, so we want to name them all first, or do we want to just dive into Rob's?
Well, let's name them all first, then we can kind of...
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Nick.
I would say Breaking Bad, Battlestar Galactica... Ooh, The Office and The Americans.
Okay.
I'm going to go Seinfeld.
What are you talking about? That was my worst Jerry Seinfeld impersonation.
That was pretty bad.
It was terrible.
Right, so Seinfeld.
That was as terrible as Jets.
Seinfeld, Home Improvement.
Nice.
Yeah. Lost.
I was trying to.
And Batman the Animated Series.
Oh my
Batman,
gosh,
we were just
chatting about this. Yeah. Okay, I can tell you which one I want you to spend some time talking about, and I think I know what Rob wants him to talk about. I think.
No, you can make the call. Go ahead.
Batman the Animated Series. I want to talk about Batman the Animated Series. Let's start with Batman the Animated Series. Did you ever watch it, Rob?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Did a Batman fan ever watch Batman the Animated Series?
You know what, though? There are some Batman fans who are purists who are like, I'm not doing cartoons. That doesn't count.
It's hard for me to watch a cartoon in all fairness. But yeah, I was younger.
I can tell you right now, it doesn't feel like you're watching a cartoon.
No, it feels very...
It's very mature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this dark Art Deco style of animation. They use black stock paper to animate over. Whereas traditionally, cartoons use white stock paper and do dark backgrounds.
Yeah.
They used dark stock paper, black stock paper, and did the lighter backgrounds, which is why it always has this darkness to it. Even the backgrounds and everything.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I did not
It's
know
my
that.
Favorite iteration of Batman. In film, comic, anything. It is the quintessential Batman story.
I think it's the one of the best interpretations of Batman by mm-hmm. far. I mean, that's the one where they get the "I am the night, I am you know, Kevin.
I am vengeance.
I am vengeance. I am Batman." Like Kevin Conroy.
So do you remember like episodes like Heart of Ice
yes.
with Mr. Freeze?
Yep.
I mean, that's not a kid's. That's not episode. That's not an episode of television.
That's
for
a
kids.
Very sad episode.
What child yeah. What child really understands loss like that? Can no. process what Mr. Freeze is going to
yeah.
going through?
Yeah.
I mean, but it was a cartoon. It was on in the afternoons on Fox after school.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was. It was on at like 3:30.
Yeah,
like, right, 3:30 right at 4:30, something like that.
I was yeah. gonna say 3:30, yep. but yeah, you might be right.
Because I got home in time to watch it. And
I would rush home to watch that one. And the opening, the yeah. freaking credits alone.
Danny like, Elfman did the music for it.
Did he?
And that opening where it does the Warner Brothers logo into the Zeppelin eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the best part about this, it never says what show you're watching. It's just an intro. It doesn't ever say Batman the Animated
That's
Series.
That's true.
Right, right.
It doesn't even say anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the very first episode is Man-Bat, too. Season
yep.
one, episode one. Because I pulled up the best episodes of all time of that one. So that's pretty interesting, some of these.
Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Oh, gosh. So good. When I told my son that I'm like, Eli, you know that's Luke Skywalker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid was blown away.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we all were.
He was his first exposure to because Eli... I tried to get him to watch the animated series. He never liked it. He was a Batman Beyond guy, right? He watched more of that.
Okay.
So the first time he heard Mark Hamill as the Joker was actually in the Arkham Asylum games. Arkham Knight. Yeah.
Arkham Asylum games were great.
Yeah, they were. Oh, gosh. I'm looking through some of these episodes.
It introduced Harley Quinn.
Yep.
The origination of Harley Quinn.
The origination of Harley Quinn, which I feel is a very underrated character who's being overplayed now. Like, they're going way too into the Harley Quinn boat, right? Like,
yeah.
WB.
Yeah.
But she's a good character. She's awesome. I like the way they portray the Joker in it.
Yep.
You know, he's just not just simply a psycho. I mean, he is a psycho,
right.
but they play him better. Gosh, I'm looking through some of these.
Kevin Conroy is the voice of Batman.
I like, when they brought Kevin Conroy in to play Batman in the Arrowverse crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, come on, that's awesome.
And they made him yeah. an evil Batman.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of okay with that. Like, I like this idea in these alternate universes, because Batman is evil. At the heart of it, he's not a good guy.
He's a psychopath.
So, but he's able to...
channel his rage.
To go in that gray area, right?
Right.
He balances it very well. But I would think in if you're a believer in this multiverse stuff, I think most times Batman would not be a good guy. He'd go evil. He'd be an evil guy. I think that's what
I don't know
him
that I would say he's
superhero.
Evil. I just think I think he sides with justice above all else.
Right.
He's unwavering. Maybe that's what it is.
His
right?
moral
he's...
compass is very strong in his own beliefs.
Right. So the question is, what if one little thing happened to swing that compass a little bit further? Right.
Well, that's
and
what
I think he'd be stuck in that.
Well, that's what the whole Killing Joke story was about.
The Killing Joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, at the
One
heart of it, Batman,
day.
You know, he's not looking to kill.
Yeah.
He's looking to bring to justice.
Right.
Right.
And when that's your compass, your moral compass is just, you want justice to be played out fairly for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could see that as evil, but I think.
No, okay. I think I worded that wrong. He's not evil, but.
He's brutal.
He is brutal, but.
This is a man who should very much be arrested for what he's doing.
Favorite comic book characters we got to do.
He should very... I mean, that's the reality. He should very much be arrested. He's not...
Well, he's a vigilante. He's doing...
Yeah,
what he's doing is illegal.
Mean, you don't really want vigilantes out in
but
the
But he's
street
not
doing...
a good guy. Like, that's what it boils down to. He's not really a good guy. Anyone he talks... Like, and the animated series isn't as bad with that, right? But, like, if you read comics or whatever and really follow it, like, this is a cold, distant man from everyone and anyone.
Look at the preview for The Batman.
Oh, gosh. Jeez. Oh, that looks like fun. Oh.
Yeah. Looks like fun. Where you say fun?
I was going to say fire again. I realize I've been saying fire a lot. Paul Dini does most of the writing in the animated series,
yeah.
which I think mm-hmm. is why it's so good, right?
It's consistent.
Yeah.
It's very well written.
Yeah.
Very well written.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, I would say to somebody who might not want to watch because it's a cartoon,
mm-hmm.
if that's your only hang up, then you're going to just give it 5 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And don't pay attention that it's a cartoon, because eventually it's not going to feel like a cartoon. Trust me. It feels like you're watching just traditional episodic television with great writing for the character Batman.
Right. Agreed. I do love the Art Deco style they did. They kind of followed the tone of the original Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Batman 89 to an extent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With the old style cars, the Studebaker look cars to them and everything.
But they're still using like somewhat newer for the time technology in like the Batcave.
I love that mixing of that stuff.
Right.
It's so cool that they did that, which is why the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin were garbage. But
yeah. I think that's why that's part of the reason I think it ages so well is one, because it's just excellent. It's written excellently, but it doesn't date itself. Like it's almost in this.
It like, dated itself time on vacuum. Purpose, so it locks itself in its own
right.
time.
It's in this time vacuum.
Exactly. Right. Because you can't place it.
Right.
Right. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to be able to place it. There's a lot of good shots, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A lot of good shots.
Well, you know.
Good, it wouldn't be shots. It would be a lot of good
animation cells or stills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like with Batman, he's such a great character to draw because he's so poseable.
Yeah, he is.
Well, I mean, I draw. And he's fun to draw.
Will you draw me?
I mean, the cape and cowl just has this great look to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just a silhouette. It's just cool.
I love Batman so much.
Yeah, me too.
I just watched Batman Begins the other day with my son. The last time he had watched it, he was like 3 or 4. And he's like, I don't really like it because he was 3 or 4. We watched it more recently. He's like, this was really good.
I can't get my kids to watch it.
He loved the fact that he didn't become Batman until the first hour. Like, he loved that. He's like, I love like getting to know why he is the way he is. I'm like, yeah.
We just watched the Nolan trilogy with my oldest. He's 14 now. He was 13. We just watched it over quarantine.
Gosh.
Could you get your children to get my son to not whine if I put that movie on?
Ugh. Eli used to whine. He's like, No, not again. Sit there and watch the Joker.
Marvel's brainwashed our kids into the Marvel occult, and
I will. You know, that's a whole other episode for me. I think they're really overrated in hindsight. I love all of them. I really don't want to crap on them, but like when they're making $2 billion at the theaters, like they don't deserve to be making that much money. But then that gets into a whole nother ball game, I guess. What is art? Art is very subjective,
It's a hard one to argue either side of because I do enjoy them, but I do think they're very formulaic. I don't think...
Yeah, you're going to get the same thing every time. You know what you're getting.
They often tend to be too silly for me.
What I love about them is the vision that they had and how well they executed that vision.
That's impressive as hell.
Which Star Wars couldn't do, WB couldn't do with, or DC couldn't do with their shared universe.
Well, the DC couldn't.
So all the criticisms of the movies that you guys are saying, like, it's formulaic, it's just repetitive, it's, you know, it's this whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just love that they had this vision, they planned it out, and they executed it
and it worked. Yeah. But they did have some course corrections in there, like the Hulk. That was a course correction. Thor, they changed his character quite a bit. Like, there were some characters that changed to, you know, for the benefit of the series, I think.
We'll do a Marvel
All right, yeah, let's move on. So we talked about Batman. We're already at 13 minutes here, man.
We're not doing good.
All right, what are your four, Rob?
It was, what did I choose?
DS9.
Scrubs, Chuck, and Boomtown? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want? What do we want him to talk about?
I kind of
want to
hear him talk about Scrubs because I love Scrubs, but...
Here's the thing. You guys like Scrubs, so you'll have a lot to say. I have never watched Scrubs, so I want to hear... I want the sales pitch on why it's worth watching Scrubs.
So let's start with this. I think the first couple seasons were really good at giving you a very realistic depiction of what doctors went through with some comedy behind it. In fact, one of the important things that the series did was they brought in a doctor to kind of walk them through. This is what the first couple of years of it is like. And a lot of the times the chief of staff is not someone who's your ally. He's really kind of a jerk and a terrible person. He's an administrator, which, you know, so there was an element of realism which immediately hooked you to it, I think.
There's a charm about the show.
Yeah.
The characters are all, they got a charm about them. And so what it does, especially in the earlier seasons, it blended seriousness and comedy
so well.
Seamlessly.
Yeah.
It just was perfection, actually, in the long run. It got sillier as the show got on, which I was okay with. But I did miss some of that dramatic comedy blend that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The characters were very much not the same. They all were different personalities, strong personalities. Some people took a while to get strong, such as Elliot.
Yeah. Don't do that.
There's development for a lot of the characters. The humor was my kind of humor. There was a bunch of sarcastic characters. There was a bunch of sincerity to it. There was emotion in the show.
You know what? I just, now that you mention it, I think what helped that show so well is the humor could do cheesy. It can do sincere humor. It could do meaningful humor. Like, it blended all, there was zany humor. It was all in there. It didn't focus on just one sort of things. Like, there's some shows where, like, it's silly gags that make it excel for the humor, but this one did all of it, and it did it exceptionally.
And the lead character wasn't necessarily your favorite character out of the
bunch. No, he was my least favorite.
But his relationships with people is your favorite about things. Like, his relationship with Turk, his relationship with Elliot, his relationship with Cox.
His desire for closeness with these people, yeah.
So while he wasn't the best character on the show, probably for a lot of folks, a lot of his relationships and his desire for those relationships was the best part about the show.
Right, right.
So what it did is it just... Like I said, it's just a charming show, the way they were able to blend all that. The friendships, you know.
The soundtracks.
The friendships between JD and Turk was really kind of unusual at the time. I love you,
Brown Bear.
I love you, Brown Bear. Guy love. It's a hetero relationship that's treated romantically, which I really appreciate.
Right. And everyone joked about how they were like, you know, so this product didn't age as well because there was a lot of jokes, homophobic jokes made on the behalf that they were so close to each other.
Right.
But it never fazed either of them. They didn't care.
No.
So like normally in the shows, people would make homophobic jokes and they'd be like, no. But like there's one episode where they hadn't seen each other in a long time and he starts hugging him and he's rubbing his head into him. And he's like, I can't remember what he says that one. I missed you, my mocha bear or something like that. And he's like, bring it in there. Give it to me. Give it. Oh, I can't remember what episode that was.
But there's that. And you know, I can be expressive sometimes and, mm-hmm. and sometimes not all the time, but I admire that out of it. I wasn't afraid to do that because
I've had my ass smacked a few times.
Yeah, exactly. A little smack and a grab. You get personal, what it is. But you look at Cox as being a reluctant mentor who wanted to be a mentor but didn't want to admit he was a mentor.
Yeah.
His wife that was crazy and the same personalities, how they bounced off each other. Yeah. Kelso, you know, grew a lot.
He went from the villain to the guy where you understood who he was to kind of goofy.
Yeah, to kind of goofy, which the show got more goofy as it went along because that's what the studio wanted.
And then it went back to seriousness the last season. Yeah. Like before they went to
their series finale, or what should have been the series finale.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, your opinion of season 9.
Yeah.
Was a great way to wrap up a show. So a lot of people who say that they don't want to watch a show based upon the finale doesn't apply to this show.
Yeah,
it is. It's funny. I bet as with the emotional stuff they pull, I bet that would appeal to you. I would put money on it would appeal to you to no end.
I will. Based on that, I'll give it a shot.
And season one, you know, you have to kind of grow with season one. But I
thought season one was one of the best seasons.
See, when I initially watched it and going back to watch it with Sid and everybody just recently, I remember season one kind of being eh. But it's because the real formula show wasn't really established yet.
Right.
So it is have a little, but I still think it was great. Yeah. So it has a little bit of that, like, okay, I know what's to come. I know what the formula show is and that's not there. So maybe that's my prejudice on season one. Cause I know it wasn't the formula I was used to.
One of my favorite parts of that show ever. I think it was late second season, but, Turk had a relationship with Carla. They end up getting married in the series, but they were in a fight.
Spoiler, man.
So Turk was sleeping in the same bed with JD, right? And then in the morning they wake up and JD is faced the other way. And he's like, dude, why are you sleeping that way? He's like, that way our bits don't touch. He's like, dude, our bits are still touching. He's like, yeah, but they don't lock together. So that was pretty funny. Like, I love that line.
Hashtag fake doctors, real friends.
All right, I'm gonna give that.
There's some really, oh, like one of the final episodes, he says, "Elliot, I love you more than Turk," and she goes, "Oh my God, I know that's even hard for me to say, but it's true." Right, like that's when he's like declaring her ultimate love for her. It's good, yeah.
I actually think it's probably falls in that underappreciated category too. The people who love it, but the people who
watch an episode or two,
didn't give it a chance beyond that.
I've always been told or suggested to watch that show, and nobody's ever really given me a reason why. They just say, "Oh, you've never seen Scrubs? What is wrong with like?"
Yeah.
But they've never sold me on it, and like that, that sales pitch that you went through is, I want to see that show. If you said there's a show, and you sell it like that, I'm gonna watch that show.
Well, one thing I learned watching it recently with my then 13-year-old daughter and my wife is the first couple seasons are incredibly sexual. So
because maybe they're young doctors,
but
they're
not
young, attractive doctors.
So make a decision if you let Elijah. I'm not gonna, well, just be careful. I had to do some parenting watching this the first time, going, "Oh my god, I didn't remember any of this."
So Elijah started watching Seinfeld.
Oh, and Seinfeld. That's my.
I mean, that's kind of. I mean,
that might even be worse than your first one.
I think that was worse. Initially, I didn't think it could get worse. I'm like, that's.
That's a pretty bad thing. It's becoming a dolphin.
That's.
All right. Sorry. Seinfeld. Yeah. So, anyways.
But like, there are some parts and subject matters in that show, and he's only in we started the third season. That I'm like,
is there the naked girlfriend like when she coughs?
No, that's later. That's like season 7.
Hello.
Or
8.
No, man.
But there are just some.
I was watching Scrubs. I was going.
Yeah, I was watching.
Dang it.
Yep. There's some times I'm just like, oh man.
We're too
I'm
far. Just, Sid, let's go have a talk.
Yeah.
I just avoid it. I assume he already knows, and I'm just gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they do. That's the thing. They know.
But my job was still to have that discussion.
Yeah. All right. Well, real quick, one of my other favorite quotes from Scrubs was one time where, again, Carla and Turk were in Hulu. A fight. All right. So they're the married couple. And JD says to her, he's like, if I was married to him, I'd be more supportive. And Carla says to him, you said that out loud, right? And he goes, I'm not ashamed of who I am. Walks away. Like, it's just so Hulu. Funny how they all...
It's on Hulu?
Okay. Hulu. And it doesn't have the original soundtrack, though, which I think hurts it.
I have season 8 in the car.
The soundtrack is... And I think that's another important thing about it. I think we didn't focus enough on that. The soundtrack to Scrubs is one of the better show soundtracks you will ever have.
If you never can find the DVDs.
Never has there been a way where music has been so instrumental in what the episode was doing. And it's good music. A lot of it's indie music.
So maybe it is better to seek out the DVDs.
I think
Apple has it, but you have to buy it on Apple.
You should be able to get the DVDs for cheap, but it's only a few. They didn't have the rights for everything when they went to streaming and all that other stuff. Right. So what you're getting on Hulu is I forgot what they said, but not every episode's going to have the original music as intended. And when you listen to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, they'll point that out as they're actually talking about an episode, saying this wasn't the original music.
Yeah.
When we watched on Hulu, I don't remember the original music, so I couldn't tell you. But
I don't mean to sound girly, but for like the past 12 years, you've practically been my wife. How does that sound girly? Another quote from their relationship. Oh gosh, it's so good. Sorry, I got lost on the rabbit hole of Scrubs quotes.
We use Wormhole on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah. So.
All right. So what are your four, Nick?
My four were.
Go over them again.
I had The Office.
Okay.
I had Breaking Bad. I had Battlestar Galactica, and I had The Americans in there.
I know we've talked about Battlestar Galactica and Americans.
I could talk about Battlestar Galactica all day, every day.
On this podcast. I know we've talked about it in the past. So maybe. What was the third one?
The Office. And then the other one was Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Which I think we've talked about Breaking Bad too.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with The Office. Do we want to go with The Office or do we want to talk Battlestar Galactica?
I made it more difficult for you. I realize
what do you think?
That.
What's your opinion?
Well, Nick wants to keep it short, and I feel like Battlestar Galactica is
a long rant.
I
will give you an essay on why that is one of the best television series of all time. And I'm really upset that you two haven't watched it. It keeps me up at night.
I'm gonna watch it.
You're gonna watch it
eventually.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm watching it right now.
We should. I would
do that or Scrubs first.
Oh, I do have to do Scrubs.
I would like us to get together and watch the miniseries and then the first couple episodes together. The first episode of that show, 33, is fantastic, of Battlestar Galactica. It's after the miniseries. We're not getting into that yet. Okay, watch, you haven't picked the show yet.
Watch the first 5 episodes of Lost and turn it off. 5 minutes. Sure, 5 minutes of the first episode of Lost and turn it
off. That's where the plane crashes.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic intense scene.
Yeah.
I saw the first episode of Lost and I just never got around to it again. That's part of it. But yes, that plane crash scene alone was one of the more realistic plane crashes you'll see. I mean, I don't know. I've never been in a plane crash, but...
No? No, we all have.
Yeah.
Let's do The Office.
Let's do The Office?
Okay.
I mean, I feel like you've touched upon the other three.
Yeah, and this podcast you have.
I would
like to have the Battlestar Galactica discussion...
After
I've seen it.
Yeah, okay. I think you could probably get away with watching the miniseries in the first couple episodes, because it started off as a miniseries and they weren't planning on bringing it back as a show, and people responded to the miniseries and so they brought it back and it blew up. So anyways, Office for me. I'm not one of the people who came into The Office when it was on Netflix. I watched the very first season when it was on NBC, when no one was watching it, right? And people are like, what the heck is this? This is crap. It needs to go off the air.
It was too goofy for people.
And uncomfortable too, right? The second episode is Diversity Day, where he's doing a Chris Rock impersonation. Oh, gosh. And then he has them put on the note cards on their heads, and they have to assume the personalities of that person. And Pam has a woman on there, and Dwight says to her, you're not a good driver. and then she makes a racist comment because she goes, am I Chinese? And anyways, why I like The Office so much is because, again, this is very similar to Scrubs. I think the earlier seasons had a lot more heart in them. The characters were a lot more down to earth. As the series went on, it got zanier and zanier, and the characters became caricatures of themselves.
I agree with that.
For instance, Kevin. Kevin in the earlier seasons versus Kevin in the later seasons, where he's walking around with boxes on his feet to a wedding. Now, of course, they think he's
mentally challenged.
So here's the thing, though. I actually thought that was kind of okay.
because the way that they shaped his character, you're like, if somebody said that to you and you saw him,
how he talked and acted,
and he's like, I can drive a car.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you can.
I love the taboo stuff.
I do love the
two, like in Living Color. It still makes me laugh.
Yeah,
yep.
I do too, because a lot of these taboo things and these uncomfortable things are based around truth. People experience those things in the workplace. People don't have the extremes of these characters, right? Like people don't work with a Dwight Schrute to that extreme, but maybe in the earlier season, Dwight Schrute's, yes, the kiss up to the boss.
Yeah.
He's just constantly trying to get other people in trouble. And later season Dwight's, where he's hiding weapons in the office and you know, those are more extreme, but like all the characters felt very real at first. You know, Jim, who's in love with the secretary, which was really cool, which I could argue about how Jim was abusive and the villain of Office, because I think he really was the villain of the Office in hindsight. That's a whole other podcast.
He was doing a long play.
But like Michael,
do you think Johnny was the good guy?
That's like, have you ever seen How I Met Your Mother?
Oh yeah.
Where Barney, Barney like argues that the villain was the good guy. Yeah. They bring in Ralph Macchio and he's like, who is this? I didn't want to meet him. Anyways.
I want to meet the Karate Kid.
I mean, villain is a very strong word, but Jim was not. He is not the picture of a healthy male relationship. Like having a relationship with him is not a healthy relationship. Like the way he treated Pam and some of the things that he did, like when he took this job in Philadelphia, didn't hide it from her, bought a house randomly without telling her and thought it was a romantic gesture. And Pam thought it was romantic too, but we also know Pam has a history of just agreeing with whatever the boyfriend says. Right.
I mean,
that was the whole relationship with Roy. But some of these characters I think were really well-rounded. I loved Oscar. People worked with an Oscar, right? Oscar never really did zany things. He was kind of the straight man in that whole show, I think.
Yeah. Which is ironic.
But just the whole episode where, like, they're fight the when it was the episode where they're going through the HR box and all the arguments were from the past, and then it was about the poster on the wall, like, yeah, Angela had on the wall, and he just goes on this rant about it. And, like, he's like, here's a win-win-win scenario. You will get a shirt with that poster on it, and you will wear it one day a week. I love that with Michael. But I loved how Michael, at first, you're witnessing this guy, and you're like, how could anyone work for him? And then you see the heart he has, which makes people able to forgive him. I appreciated that, you know, overlooking the flaws.
And the reason they were the top-selling office branch.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
I love the relationship between Ryan and Kelly. I liked Ryan more. So initially Ryan was the straight character as well, right? Like, he was the temp who was brought in.
Right.
And then he becomes the boss, and he, so I didn't want him never become, that was, I don't like that storyline. It still doesn't sit well with me, but I liked him better as the guy who's just a continuous screw up, who's like the hipster who thinks he's better than everyone else. And then the one time where he reads his poetry in front of Jim and Pam, and they're like, that was really good. Like, they were surprised. So his whole relationship with Ryan and Kelly, especially the finale where they run off together, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, where Ryan ditches the kid and just runs off. Like, so there are some really bad things in there. Andy Bernard, I hated Andy Bernard, except for early seasons, Andy Bernard.
Anger issues, Andy Bernard?
Yeah. But boss Andy Bernard was the absolute worst.
That was jumping the shark.
They tried to make him a Michael Scott. I didn't.
The show really suffered for me when he left. When he left.
Well, it was trying to find its footing again. And it
and they brought in D'Angelo Vickers and Robert California, Nellie Bartram, Gabe. Gabe is just a terrible, terrible character.
I love Creed.
Creed is underrated.
He is underrated.
Creed is so good. There's like a YouTube video of just all the Creed reactions and Creed comments and everything.
He maintained his creepiness throughout.
Throughout. I love the episode where he comes in covered in blood or whatever. And then they're like, oh, nice Halloween costume. He's like, oh, it's Halloween.
isn't there like a fan theory that he was a Scranton Strangler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I could totally buy that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact quote, but where he's talking about, like, it's after the identity theft things or whatever. And he's talking about, you know, who was the last person to cross me? Creed Bratton. Like, because he stole the identity of the guy or whatever. Oh, gosh. Good characters. There are some weak ones in there. I never liked Stanley. In fact, the episode where Stanley yelled at Michael and did I stutter and, like, ranting and, like.
That's harsh.
And I didn't really like Phyllis. I thought they were both really mean, nasty characters. But you have those in an office. Because Phyllis would do some really mean stuff, right? Like,
oh, passive aggressive.
There are plenty of Phyllises in the office.
Yeah.
In offices.
The passive aggressiveness of her was, so anyways, office.
The CPR episode.
Oh my gosh, where he cuts off the face of it.
I laugh hysterically every single time.
That's the same episode where they set fire.
The opening is...
And then he keeps bringing him into HR, like, to corporate or whatever. Yep. And they're like, you know, what's the big deal? And they're like, you set the office on fire. I just love that one.
Creed goes, he has no wallet. I checked. The dummy.
Or they're like giving it to the beat of Staying Alive. Like, give it to the beat. And then they all start singing it and getting into it and dancing.
They start singing I Will Survive at first.
Yeah.
Michael
goes,
first
I was afraid. I was petrified. So there are absolute duds in that series. But I think overall.
When it hits, it's good. A grand slam.
I would say to me, a better overall series is Parks and Rec. But it's still not my favorite. I can't rewatch Parks and Rec like I can rewatch The Office.
I agree.
And I loved Parks and Rec. I think Parks and Rec had more heart than The Office ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, again, this goes back to my Star Trek theories that I have. If I'm not thinking and I don't have questions coming out of the episodes, I'm not going to love them. And I could come out of the Parks and Rec with, like, philosophical questions about it. Not as much, but in The Office.
Yeah, it's funny.
Except for creepy Jim.
I love Office. I love Ron Swanson, but I might like Community more.
Community is a little... I love Community. It's a little too zany for me to ever be one
That's
of my favorite
shows. That's why I like it more, because it was always zany. It stayed zany, yeah. And it was okay with being zany.
Yes.
It never took itself too seriously.
Right, and that's kind of the reasons I enjoyed it.
Yes. I could probably...
Plus, they did a G.I. Joe episode.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Plus, they acknowledged their gas leak season, which I thought was hilarious.
I use the quote a lot, by the way. I use the... I'm not a lot superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. Yeah. I like that one. I've used that one a lot. So
I live the quote of sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't even know where.
I just looked up the best quotes from The Office, and that's one of them. Sometimes I'll just start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way. Because that's when he goes into, he's called into the office. He's called in the corporate. Because they're like, I don't know how to say this, but you're doing something right. Right? Like, and we need to figure it out. And then like they do the side interview with the CEO. He's like, in this era of recession, I can't afford to turn down any idea. We're desperate. We're calling a Hail Mary. Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy. Both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. Oh gosh. Prison Mike. The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. Oh gosh.
It's one of the most rewatchable shows of all time.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. It is incredibly rewatchable.
Yeah.
Just ask Netflix.
Yeah.
Angela has some great quotes too.
Is it the most rewatchable show of all time?
It might be. Cause people are like, I don't know, because people might argue Friends.
Oh, I'd rather watch The Office than Friends.
I'd rather watch it, but that's us. That's right. Us. Well, I think actually you look at the Netflix ratings, right? When Office and Friends were on there, I think Office was always above Friends. It went Office and then Friends, and now both of those shows are off of it.
Yep.
But it's getting my favorite rewatchable show, Seinfeld.
Oh, is it Netflix's?
So Hulu currently still has Seinfeld. No, wait, no. Yes, they still have it.
Wait, no, but, yes.
No, they do.
Yes.
But they're losing it. No. They're losing it this year.
Okay.
And Netflix is getting it, but Netflix spent money. They restored the film negatives. They scanned them all in 4K.
Oh, really?
That'll so be it's cool. Going to be a brand new version of Seinfeld.
That's never been seen, yeah. That'll
so be cool. every version of it has been cropped to some degree.
Is Sydney crawling on the floor?
I got a question for you.
Hi, Sydney's in here. We're live, and Sydney's crawling in with her.
I need you to tell me something.
Lucky Charms, ramen.
I need you to tell me something. It's very important. What? Detroit style pizza. The text you sent earlier. I did not. Yeah, you did.
I have a very important question for you. What is your favorite TV show of all time?
Like right now.
Of all time.
Of all time. I know you're in the anime. Don't get me wrong. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? What would be your favorite TV show that people would actually know about?
That people would know about?
Yeah. Well, she's thinking. She's thinking intently. This is a tough one.
Yeah, we might need to edit this part.
We're
okay.
Okay. Well, what she got?
Right now, I've been really into this show called My Hero Academia, and it's really popular.
My Hero Academia?
Yeah, it's really popular.
And it's popular.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I just need you to come here to this mic real quick. Come here.
Why?
And I need you to say what's in quotation marks there.
Just say it exactly.
It says...
Wait, she's got to be in the mic. Get her in the mic. What? Get her in the mic. Okay.
Buddy Styles Pizza, or Buddy Pizza defines Detroit style pizza.
That's a hot take right there.
That's a hot take.
That's a hot take.
If she said it, it must be true.
It must be true.
It
wasn't at
Teenagers
all.
Teenagers know nothing.
Okay.
What's your favorite sitcom, Sid?
Favorite sitcom of all time.
And you know what it is.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. Do you remember that show?
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Buddy's Pizza Place.
Two Broke Girls?
No. Oh, my gosh. There was a minute Joe liked that.
I actually liked the first season of it.
Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Nice. By the way, here's another one. There's a movie on Hulu that has Andy Samberg in it and Christine. Anyway, she played the mother on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a Groundhog Day movie.
Someone told me that was a pretty good movie.
It was really solid, but the difference is, like, this guy's constantly stuck in the reality, and he's tried to find all these different ways to get out, and he's just stuck in there, and then she ends up getting stuck. So, like, it's them both stuck, repeating the same day over and over again, and it's really good. And they fall in love, of course. Because that's, you know.
Spoiler alert.
You knew it's going to happen. The second you see a movie, like, where she hates him at first and he hates her, you know they're going to fall in love.
You could. I'm going to stop here for 1 second. No, so, How I Met Your Mother.
Him?
Yeah. A lot of people
How I Met Your Mother
issue with the ending and it ruins the
whole show. Yeah, because it was terrible, but it had good symmetry with the pilot.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I never really cared about the mother part. Ever.
I did deeply because once they started showing the mother, they did a really good job with her.
Yeah.
I was super attached to the mother. I loved the mother.
Yeah. But in the long run, I never really cared about the journey for the first 8 seasons.
I did. I always cared about the journey.
Never cared. I just liked the humor.
I also cared about how there's another villain. Ted Mosby is a villain.
Yeah. Ted was the worst character on the show.
Ted and Jim from The Office. They're two big villains that people don't realize are villains.
Ted.
No, they're villains. Ted. Okay, so
Nick is trying to fight a 14-year-old.
Sydney says they're antagonists, but I think Ted is really a villain. He does some terrible things to people. He cheats on people. He lies to people to get what he wants. He manipulates. He is a villain.
He was not very endearing.
Straight up. That last season, Robin's about to get married to Barney, and he declares his love for her. Like, what the frick are you doing? This is your best friend marrying her. You're a jerk. He's a villain.
Let's talk about this, though. The whole Robin, Ted thing. While similar characters.
Let's go to the mall today. I actually think Ted and Robin fit better together than any of the other
characters. I agree.
Barney and Robin never made sense to me. That was a jump the shark moment.
But a good TV show relationship was Jason Segel and Alyssa Hannigan.
Marshall and Lily.
Yeah, that was a great relationship.
They had a really good relationship. The episode of How I Met Your Mother, that's one of the best of all times, is the one where Marshall's dad dies, and it's like the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
How long are we going right now?
We're 42 minutes. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
Let's wrap it up. All right. So to conclude, go get some Buddy's deep dish Detroit-style pizza. Don't watch Lost because it's a terrible show. And Chuck is overrated.
This will be the last you hear of Nick.
All right, everyone. I hope you have a good night. Send in your favorite TV shows. Tweet them to us.
Yes, and tell us how full of crap Nick is.
Put them on the Twitter. All right.
All right.
Later.